All right, this morning we are desiring to be taught by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right? Through the letter of James in the New Testament, it's towards the end, towards the back. James is a very practical book teaching us how to live out the many instructions and commands that we learn throughout the Bible, right? And if you care to learn how to apply them, this is a good book to learn from and pay attention to. We're learning to grow up in Christ. That's what we should be doing in church. We're learning to grow up in Christ. See, a lot of people think that they grew up when they turned 18 or 21 or in my case, 32. And we think that we've grown up and mature, but when we come to Christ, it don't matter what age we are, we're babes. And we then need to grow and mature. I just glanced around the room and I saw a couple of people I know were in their 60s, maybe 70 when they came to Christ. And they're learning to grow too. So that's what we're supposed to be doing. The theme of this book is spiritual maturity. That's what we want to do, is mature in Christ, right? Who's here to mature in Christ? And the rest of you can what?
Grow.
Yeah, or leave. Well, if you're not here to grow, you know, I mean, that's not mean. I don't mean it mean. I don't mean it in any negative way. But we should come in with an attitude of, I want to know more about God. I want to grow in Christ. I want to be better. And far too many people go to church for years and years and years, and they never change. They don't grow. They wind up ruining their own lives and others' lives that they're with. We need to grow. We need to mature in Christ. It's of utmost importance that we emphasize the work of the Holy Spirit in this. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit, you're just reading words. You're just hearing a guy talk. But he must be sought. So we're going to pray before we get into the Word, but we have to seek God's presence. That's something you should do every time. Something you should do every day. Don't get up and assume, well, he's with me, he said he would be, I'll just go do my own thing. We need to ask. Remember in James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Let him ask for it. And God's described as he who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him if you ask. So if you ask right now while I'm praying, God, give me wisdom in your word. Guess what he's going to do? And how is he going to give it? Generously. He doesn't hold back. So with the Holy Spirit's help, we can learn from God and we will mature in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this time that we have to just separate ourselves from our busy lives and the world outside and all that chaos that's going on and being broadcast around the world. And just to come into your presence and remember that mankind has never changed. When sin entered the world, it damaged what you had made good and perfect. But Lord, you knew all along you were never going to leave it that way, that you would redeem creation from that sin. And you have, you sent your only begotten Son who took our place, who died for us on the cross, who shed his blood for the remission or removal of the sin penalty. Thank you, Lord, that sin also does not have power over us because you feed us by the word of life, your living word, and you continue to teach us, comfort us by the presence of your Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to be very present with us today. Grant us the wisdom, the knowledge, and the insight we need, that these words will become effectual to us, that we will be reminded daily to implement your word, to employ the things that you teach us as we resist the devil and he flees. Lord, help us to cling to you in every word that you speak. We give you thanks now and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're here in James chapter 3, again, looking at a third characteristic of the mature believer. A mature Christian is mindful of their words. So important. I know this is the third week that I've talked about this. I've taken a real long time on this section because I realize how important it is. When our words go out, they're out, aren't they? They don't come back. There's no way to take them back. Whatever they do happens. And you can apologize. You can try to retract them. But those words went out. And it's so important then that we govern our tongue before those words go out. Because there's nothing like the regret of speaking words that you didn't mean to, but the damage is already done. So we need to be mindful of our words or our tongue, as James puts it. The first two characteristics of the mature believer, I'll remind you, is he is patient in his various trials. And that was in the first chapter. Patient in various trials. You're going to be tried. The second one in chapter 2 is that the mature believer practices the truth by faith. We do what the Word tells us by faith. God leads us, guides us, shows us the way, and we need to put that into practice, right? So if you miss those messages, they're always available on our Facebook page, or you can get an audio copy of it on our website. And if you're low tech, we could even give you a CD with the message on it. I mean, that's pretty low tech. We're not going to go back to cassettes or anything, but we can definitely go there. So again, in this section in chapter 3, we're going to look at the third characteristics of the mature Christian believer. He's mindful of his words and his tongue. So let's read that whole portion beginning in chapter 3, verse 1, because it speaks of the tongue or the words that we speak. Chapter 3, verse 1, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Ow. Ow. Yeah. Any of you that teach, ow. But that's what the Word says. Verse 2, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs." Verse 5, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." That was a really good section that we went through last week, if you remember that. The whole course of life could be set by some of the words you have spoke or are going to speak. Verse 7, "For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." So, again, we often take for granted what power we wield with our speech. There is power in that. Some people get all of their ego and power from the things they speak, and they use it like a weapon. Because they may not be strong or have any influence any other way, but they know they can speak words. They can demean somebody and bring them down. We ought to be lifting people up and encouraging them. We have power. With our words, we can praise God, we can pray, we can preach the Word, we can lead the lost to Christ. But we can also, with that same tongue, we can curse, tell lies, and deceive. So to make the point and drive home the importance of controlled speech and the consequences of it, the Holy Spirit gave James 6 views. And if you're keeping notes, you got this already written down, and I'm glad you do, but you should maybe divide this up in your Bible somehow so you can remember them. But we have 6 views or pictures of the tongue. We have the bit and the rudder. We have fire and a poisonous or vicious animal. And we have a spring or fountain and plants, trees. And we're looking at these 6 examples in 3 groups so that it can make clear to us the power that we have in our words. The first group was the power to direct. The bit and the rudder steers and directs. The tongue is like a bit and a rudder. It has power to direct or to turn the course of things. And we should be a people for Christ who use our tongues to direct people in the right way, in the truth, in the life. Amen? Amen. The second group is the fire and the animal, the beast, is the power to destroy. And we have that power in us. A fire can begin with just a small spark, but it can consume and destroy countless acres, buildings. It could even take human lives. And once a fire starts, if you remember this last week, it takes a fire fight to put it out. And that's why I say when your words go out, they've left. And it can cause all kinds of damage. Our words, once spoken, can have a similar effect in people's lives as a fire has. It spreads. So not only is the tongue like a fire, but it's also like a wild or dangerous animal. It cannot be controlled. Verse 8 even said that man cannot control their tongue. And if you remember or you want to find out, we talked about how that's where God comes in. The Holy Spirit is given to us. The Word of God is before us. And that's the only way that we're going to learn to control this little bit of evil in here. It's an amazing thing. But that's what the Word of God says. It seeks its prey. It pounces. It devours. I asked you to imagine us opening those doors in the back and releasing a pack of wild, vicious pit bulls in here. Or snakes, if they suddenly started crawling out from underneath your pew. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? You would react in fear and running. But there's no difference when you release angry or vicious words at people. They take off and they do the damage. And we're left to run and deal with the consequences. So please remember that vicious words can also have the same results. So that takes us to the third and final group, which is words have the power to delight. And I like to end it on this one because it's a little bit nicer. We've seen a lot of death and destruction, a lot of damage, but words also have the power to delight, don't they? Amen. It's illustrated by a spring, or in some versions of your Bible, a fountain and trees, verses 10 through 12. Let's read those again. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. From the same mouth. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? That's called a rhetorical question. What's the answer? No. No, if it's a freshwater spring, that's what comes out of it. Verse 12, can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No. We should all know that one, right? You know, orange trees are really big in Florida, right? You going to go looking for an apple? It's not going to be there. Every year the flowers will come out, the bees will go around, and the fruit will begin, and it's going to be an orange. You know that, right? And you expect it. And then he ends that with, neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. So these illustrations are things that do not change. They cannot change. They're fixed. And that's why they're used as illustrations. We can expect cool fresh water from a spring. We can expect the same fruit from the same tree each time that we go there. So we look at these illustrations assuming this, and we'd be surprised to find anything but that. And it's the same thing with Christians. This is where it gets really difficult. This is where the rubber hits the road. People will look to us expecting loving kindness. Oh, you're a Christian? But, you know, many have the wrong idea because of hypocrisy. It's not, oh, you're a Christian, speak to me these loving, kind words, this love of Jesus that I've heard about. And instead they hear judgment. They get wrath. These things ought not be so. That is not the kind of church that Christ intended. It's not the kind of church I want to belong to. I don't think it's the kind of church you want to belong to. And if you are that type of person that thinks we need to judge and hold people in accountable, no, it's the right church. You're going to learn. You're going to learn about the love of Christ. You're going to learn how love covers a multitude of sins, what Peter wrote. Everything else has no place. It's not our job. And I know some people struggle with that. I've had people argue with me many times. Well, we are to judge a brethren, it says. Okay, but when you're called to do that, we're given guidelines, that's true. But when people walk in here, I don't care how they walk in. I don't. I don't care what condition they are or what they're doing in their life. I don't care. I want to love them like Jesus said to love them and let Him work on them, right? Right? I don't mind the nods and stuff. I just don't want you to nod off. So people are going to look to us expecting mercy, or the Bible word I love for the word mercy is loving kindness. It's only used of Jesus, loving kindness. And His love should be flowing from our hearts, That's where it begins, right? Comes up out of our mouth in our speech. So you can't say, well, I love people. I just don't ever say it. I don't speak words of encouragement, but I do want to encourage. Let your heart pour forth. So brothers and sisters, please do not pollute the words of Jesus or make rotten the fruit of the Spirit. So first we have, as our illustration, a spring, or like I said, in some versions, a fountain. At this time and in this part of the world, this was a very powerful illustration. Very powerful. Fresh water coming out of the ground is priceless. It's life. The presence of a freshwater spring or a fountain was a great blessing to a village. And in many places, it still is today. There's missionary groups that go around and just drill wells, because it means so much to a village if they can get fresh water out of the ground. And I think that's a tremendous mission. Elders, we need to talk about that. We should probably be getting behind somebody who's drilling wells so that we can go there and let this well put out some good fresh water. So don't miss this part here. Your words also have the power to be a blessing to the village or circle that God has put you in. You are in a circle whether you recognize it or not. You have a certain amount of family and friends and people that you influence. And when you say, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I believe in Jesus, they want to know what that's like. Because they want to approach God. But it depends what you look like to them, if they're going to or not. Why isn't this church packed to overflowing? Why aren't there as many churches as there are Walgreens or Starbucks, you know, because, well, there probably is more. But every person should be in church. And they're not because of other Christians. They've heard things. They've seen things. And I know that's not exclusive, but please don't attack me on that. But we need to influence our circle and our village. And we do that by the words that we speak. Every time you speak. Every time you speak. Right? Think about it. In Florida, we have a lot of freshwater springs. So this is really illustrative to me. I can remember the first time I encountered one of these springs in a local river. The closer you get to it, I don't know if you've ever swam in a river where there's a spring feeding it along the way. The closer you get, you feel the current pushing out of the ground. The closer you get, you feel it getting colder because it comes out of the ground. I forget the temperature, 60-something degrees. No matter how hot and warm the river is, hot outside, you go down to that spring and it is 60, I think 67. Beautiful. And I remember swimming down to it and there's this big hole. And you can see plants around it flowing. Me and a few fish were floating in front of it. I was trying to I wanted to swim in it, but it's so powerful. The closer you get, it just blows you back. And these fish were doing the same thing. They're just hovering in space. It was amazing. It was just amazing to see just hundreds of gallons of fresh water just shooting up out of the ground continuously. Where does that come from? You know, we always think, well, a volcano, the earth's hot and all this junk flows out of the ground, but there's fresh, cold, beautiful, life-giving water flowing out of these springs. So the illustration should be really powerful to you. That's what should be coming out of you. Are you a volcano or are you a freshwater spring? You know, it depends on, are you yielding to the Holy Spirit? Well, first, are you born again and filled with the Holy Spirit? And second, are you allowing him to govern you, to teach you, and to lead you? That's what's going to make a difference. So the spring or fountain provides fresh, cool water that humans need to stay alive. We don't only need it for drinking, which is really good, but we also need it for washing, for cooking, for farming, and many other activities that are necessary for life. We need water. We need water. So I'm going to share a little fun fact with you. It's estimated that nearly 80%, 8 out of 10 people right here are underhydrated. You're not drinking enough water. And it's really funny. Now, this is interesting because everybody's different, so everyone has different needs. We have different sizes, different activities, different ages. But in general, I'm going to share with you a little bit about hydration. When I was sick a couple of weeks ago, I was running a real high fever, and I wanted to. That's what kills a virus. So I put sweats on, sweatshirt, got in bed, and I knew I needed to hydrate. So I started looking up. I'm like, how much do I actually need? Well, without that fever going on, This is what the this is according to the U.S. National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine. It's published by the Mayo Clinic. It's determined that an adequate daily fluid intake is, for men, 15.5 cups, and if you're European, 3.7 liters of fluids a day. So that comes to 124 ounces, and my big water. That is over seven of these 16.9 ounce bottles a day. So I had a case of 36 while I was sick, and I made sure I drank seven every day because I needed more than that intake. That's a lot of water. You should try it. For women, it's 11.5 cups a day, or 2.7 liters, which is 92 ounces, or five of those bottles, over five, almost five and a half bottles a day. Now, that's not just water. These are recommendations to cover all fluids, which include water, other beverages, and even your food. About 20% of our intake for daily fluids is food in our foods. So you don't have to drink all that water. You just need to make sure you get all that fluid. So our words can hydrate or bring life to other people. Yes. You see, we all have a daily intake that's necessary of encouragement, yes, of love, of acceptance, of positive words. And so far too often we are robbed of that because people speak negativity into our lives, discourage us, you know, dehydrate us spiritually by their words. Our words can hydrate or bring life to people, into their ears and eventually into their hearts. So Proverbs, one of our books of wisdom in the Bible, and it's good to read Proverbs every day. I encourage you, read Proverbs every day. One chapter every day, every month, you'll read Proverbs. Real easy reading plan. I try it. I try to share it. I send Samuel random Proverbs that I go through each time, but it's difficult to be consistent. But I want to encourage you, read Proverbs. I'm going to share a couple with you about this fountain. Proverbs 10:11 says, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life." The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Proverbs 13:14, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death." Proverbs 18:4, "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountains of wisdom is a bubbling brook." You see, God's encouraging us to speak words of life only. It's time to put away everything else. There's no need to speak negative. There's no need to harp on things that aren't right. We know things aren't right. You know, if you need to, go all the way back to Genesis and you'll find out when that started. Things aren't right. They're broken. And so we need to be the people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, that are speaking words of life, that are showing love to people. It's so important if we're going to be a powerful church, and we're going to be a powerful church. Amen. We are part of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is alive and well, and it's going to reach people. Amen. You could either be a strong part of that body, flowing with life, or as we do with dead things, we remove them, right? And we don't have to do it. The Holy Spirit will. So these verses in Proverbs parallel what James writes, and they underscore the importance of our words. Like water, our words can give life. However, when water is not controlled, it actually causes death, doesn't it? We have all seen death and destruction brought by floods, tidal surges, tsunamis. Remember, I think it was back in 2004 or somewhere, there was a major tsunami. 250,000 people died because of the water. Every day people die because of dirty water. Did you know only 1 out of 5 people on the entire planet has access to the water that you and I have? We just flick a faucet on and fresh water comes flowing out. 1 out of 5 people have that. And the numbers are sad because there's very few that have that. More have dirty water, polluted water. They have water, but it's just not the best. And so using that in your illustration in your mind, not only do you have fresh water to drink, but look where you're at and what you're hearing and what you're learning. You have the words of life right before you. Our words can do good or bad. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Wow. I mean, that's just what it says. Death and life is in the power of your tongue. You can give death or you can give life. What do you want to give today? Yeah, I know you want to. See, I want to as well. So we just need to be really aware of that. We need to be cognizant of what we are doing when we speak. Our feelings will rise up, and then we need to let the Holy Spirit go. Encourage. Say something that's more positive. Lift that person up. Water is more often for us refreshing, and our words can be refreshing. The Bible talks about refreshing us by the Word of God, and the Apostle Paul talks about that. Several places he talks about those who refreshed him in Corinth and various places that he visited in his journeys. Water refreshes, but it also cleanses. We use it to clean, right? So you get refreshed, you get clean. In the Old Testament, there was a large basin of water in the tabernacle or in the temple. And it was provided for the cleansing of the priests' hands and their feet. They weren't to perform God's work before they cleanse themselves by this water. And it serves as a illustration or a picture of God's word being the spiritual water that now cleanses us. Do you want to be clean? You know, I guess I should start that off with, do you think you're dirty, you filthy little creature? Now, do you want to be clean? I know, me too. And so God's word is that spiritual water that cleanses us. Jesus says in John 15:3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Already. Just by being in the presence of hearing God's word, that's the beauty of reading your Bible. That's the beauty of listening to programs that are Bible-based. That's the beauty of coming to church, isn't it? Amen. What are you going to hear when you come here? The word of God. And Jesus says, already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Interesting, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he, Christ, now I don't want to make the husband-wife comparison as much as I want you to see the cleansing here. He, Christ, may sanctify her, the church, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. You see, every time that you hear the word of God, every time you're exposed to it, and you want to, you want to be cleansed, it's going to have that effect on you. And the reason is given so that he might, Jesus might, present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. God wants you to be holy and without blemish. And we should be a people that want to be that way. He says, be holy because I'm holy. Can we be holy? Only five of you think that's possible. You know, it is possible. Will we be? I can't answer that question. We're all trying. But God says, be holy because I'm holy, and that should be our goal. And he wants us to be holy and without blemish, is what the word says. So also, our words to others can help to cleanse or sanctify them as well. What you say can make a difference, right? Our words should be like a river that's described in Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 9. It's a great little illustration to read where God shows him this river. And this is what it says in verse 9. So everything will live where the river goes. So the river of words that's coming out of your mouth, is everything going to live there or is everything going to die there? That's up to you. And I'll remind you, you can't control it. But by the Holy Spirit in you, by God's word before you, yes, you can. Amen. You can speak words of life, and we must, and I want to. Don't you? Again, five people want that. When I ask questions, I really expect everyone to jump in and go, yeah, absolutely, I'm in. That's what I want. So in addition to a spring of life, the tongue is also delightful because, as he says here, it's like a tree. Trees are vitally important to life, aren't they? Amen. You know, we know that they make oxygen. Amen. We know that these mass forests put oxygen into the atmosphere and absorb carbon. One of the ways we can fix the problem with carbon in the air is simply by planting more trees. It's a proven fact. They'll suck the carbon right out of it. That's why once humans, or not once, but if we were ever completely gone, the earth would heal itself. It will suck all the carbon back and put it back in the ground where we dug it up from. and release all the oxygen so everything can live again. Trees are very, very important. And at this time, when James wrote this, they were important to the local economy. Trees help to hold down soil. They provide beauty and shade, provide homes for wildlife. We see nests and squirrels. Some of them bear fruit, give us food. Our words can help to do the same thing to people. They can help to shelter them, to encourage every weary person and feed the hungry soul. And God will send them in your path. Proverbs 10:21, if you're making notes. The lips of the righteous feed many. The lips of the righteous. Let me remind you what righteous is. Made right with God. Again, if you're a born-again believer, you've been made right with God. Your words should, as this says, feed many. See, and you may not think so. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be the preacher. You're a believer. You're a child of God. You are a friend of Jesus. And people should be encouraged by your words that come out. You should be able to feed many everywhere. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to memorize. You know how to say nice things. You know, I love it. My mom was a good Christian, and she always said that saying that many of us know, if you don't have anything good to say, see, I knew I wasn't even taking a risk because we've all heard that. And what happens when we come to say something? We forget that. You don't have anything nice to say, okay, don't say anything at all. It's probably Bible-based. Most good things are. Jesus says in John 6:63, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. You see, Jesus spoke to us deep into our hearts, into our spirit, and gave us life. And you know that. You heard the word of life and your spirit responded, didn't it? You woke up and said, whoa, that just spoke to me in a way I've never been spoken to. And Jesus said, that's what my words do. See, we can speak to people in all sorts of ways, but when we speak the Word of God, it speaks deep into them. It changes the way they feel about things, and that's how you witness. And they say, well, give me some more of that life. Where did you hear that from? And that's why we always give God the glory. It's in the Bible. God said it. And share that with people. As we share His Word with others, we feed them, and we'll encourage them in their daily struggles. And we can all use that, can't we?
Amen.
Yeah, because everybody's struggling in some way. So the most important part of a tree is the part you don't see, the root system. It's underneath the ground, and it's often bigger than what you see on top of the surface. And it's real important to that tree. If the roots don't go down deep enough, the tree won't grow far and wide. And when we're rooted in the things of the Lord, then we will grow far and wide. The deeper you're rooted, the more you're going to grow. And that's a problem with a lot of Christians and with a lot of churches. They don't want to go that deep. Just tell me the nice things. Don't trim my branches. I don't want to be pruned. Just tell me the nice stuff so I can walk away feeling good about myself. But we're not going to grow far and wide. Our roots need to be in Christ. And then we'll experience fruit. Will produce the fruit of our fellowship with Christ, will produce fruit that He tells us that we ought to be producing. You want to be blessed, don't you?
Yes.
Well, don't you?
Yes.
See, that's another one of those questions. You want to be blessed, and some people are like, oh, I am. Who said that? Yeah, you just assumed it. Psalm 1:1. I love that. This is what Psalm starts off with. 1:1. Blessed is the man, and of course this includes you women, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, counsel has to do with words, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law, which is the words, of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Blessed is the man who does what?
Amen.
Who hears the word of God and does it. I'll paraphrase it for you. Hears the word of God and does it. A lot of people hear it. You hear it all over the place. But who does it? You know, James said in 1:22, let's be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving ourselves. That's what happens when we don't do it. Jesus always spoke the right words, right? Every time Jesus spoke, he spoke the right words at the right times, and it's because he communed with the Father, and he heard from heaven each and every day. Listen to this testimony of him in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And rising early in the morning, speaking of Jesus, while it was still dark, now I know a lot of you don't know what that's like, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. He knew it was important to get up before everybody else, go be alone with the Father, and just pray. And I don't know how you pray, but I want to encourage you, have a conversation with God. I have learned so much in just the past couple of months to just talk to God and just tell him, just speak to him. He knows. He already knows what's going on, so I go to him and I'm like, you already know this. Here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm thinking. I don't know what I'm thinking or doing. I thought I was all good, saved, and secured, and I don't know what. I don't know exactly. You know, some of you are going, what? If you're not at that place, he'll take you there. He'll show you one day. Your security is in what you think you're doing every Sunday and every Bible study. Our security is in him. Amen. He'll let you see that you're not all what you think you are sometimes. Sometimes we need to go back and remember, I'm a wretch. He saved a wretch like me. That doesn't mean I'm not one anymore. I'm just a saved one that's improving. And yes, there's improvement. Don't worry. That's what this is all about. We're maturing. We're growing in Jesus. Don't get scared. But be reminded, we need to go. Jesus himself did. Got up early and went out to a desolate place and prayed. If he had to do it, do you? Three people that time. Wow, less and less. I'll pick on you about that stuff. Now I know you're listening and you're not thinking to respond, but think about it. If he needed to do it, don't you? Absolutely. And do we do it? Not as much as we ought to. Do you want to do it? All the time. So I'm encouraging you today. Do it. Spend some time with God. Speak plainly and clearly. He's your Father in heaven. That's the beauty of Jesus. He came down to earth. He came among us. He walked with us and was tempted in every way we are. Every single way you're tempted, he was tempted, yet he was able to do it without sin. That's who I want to talk to. How'd you do that? Because I'm having a hard time. All right. If you're going to have words, or to keep it in context with James, tongues that delight, then we have to meet with the Lord each and every day and learn from him. We must get our spiritual roots deep into God's word. We have to pray, meditate, and permit the Spirit of God to fill our hearts with God's love and his truth. Now, James issued a warning here too. He says, a spring cannot pour forth two different kinds of water. And I saw that in that spring. I actually have swam down to several springs in my years. But I saw that. I went down there and it was fresh water every time. It'd be weird if all of a sudden a minute later muddy, dirty water came out or salty water. So that doesn't happen. Wherever the source of that water is, whatever the vein of fresh water is, it always comes out. What is our source or vein of the fresh water? Right, it's the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have it. We have that in us. We have the source that wants to flow life out of us. He says you can't have two different things coming out of there. You can't have two different fruits on a tree. Now I know they do hybrids now and stuff, but outside of that, as I said before, you're never going to pick an apple off of an orange tree. It's not possible. And as I said earlier, we expect a fountain to flow that way. We expect a tree to bear after its own kind. If the tongue is inconsistent, there's something radically wrong. There's something very, very wrong. And as I often see in God's Word, and I'm going to bring out right now, this should be a checkpoint. We should be able to analyze ourselves and go, you know what? I am that fountain right now. I am blessing God on one side, and I'm cursing people on the other side. Something's wrong inside. And what is wrong is we're not yielding to the Holy Spirit. Thing I learned from Pastor Earl that always stuck with me was he said, your joy is in direct proportion to your yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. So if your joy is not right, and your joy is connected to those words, if you find yourself praising God here in church and cursing men afterwards, something's wrong with your joy, and it's directly related to how you yield to the Holy Spirit. How many of us have sang to the Lord during worship service and then later got in the car and argued and fought all the way home? Now, you don't have to answer that one. I didn't expect you to. But I know this personally. I know I have left church before and gotten in arguments and fights with my wife. Oh, no, Pastor, what? Okay, I've been saved for 27 years. I'm not talking about last week. But there's been times like that. And I'm sure, I'm confident of this, every one of you have done something similar to that. You have left church and found yourself acting just the opposite as you just heard. Verse 10, he says, "My brethren, these things ought not to be so." Or as I copied and pasted, "ought not so to be." Shouldn't be that way. That shouldn't be how it works. You should leave church after praising God and bless people galore. Amen. Your word should be a fountain of life to everybody around. You go to the restaurant, and who cares if they got your order wrong? Praise the Lord. Give them a tip. Thank them for doing their job. They tried. Somebody cuts you off, wave. I still need to make that bird. I'll make a little paddle of a dove that says, "Jesus loves you," so Christians can flip the bird in the car. It's mine. Don't take it. It's my invention. The problem, of course, is not just our tongue. It doesn't do its thing all by itself. The problem is much deeper. It's in the heart. In James chapter 3, verse 14, he says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts," and we're going to get to this, "do not boast and be false to the truth." So you got something going on in your heart. You should probably be quiet. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18 says, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person." That's Jesus speaking. What comes out of your mouth is actually coming from your heart. So again, there's that little mirror. What's my heart look like? Just listen to yourself. That's exactly what it looks like. And that's what defiles a person. He says, not what goes in. What goes in your mouth don't matter. And then Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." So keep your heart. Your heart needs to be married to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit so that what flows from there will be godly all the time. You know, God loves us. We want to be like Jesus. Everybody will say that. If I asked every one of you individually, "Do you want to be like Jesus?" "Absolutely, Pastor, you know I do." Well, then we need to speak like Jesus. As we fill our hearts with God's word, and that's what we have to put in here. Garbage in, garbage out, right? So good in, good out. Good. Garbage in, garbage comes out. Good goes in, good comes out. We fill our hearts with God's word. We yield to the Holy Spirit. And then he can use us to bring delight to others. And we will be refreshing fountains. We'll be trees that bear consistent fruit all the time. And that's what's most important. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't say one thing one time and another thing the next time. We must be consistent. That's the whole point of the trees and the different waters. So yes, the smallest but largest troublemaker in all the world is the tongue. It's an amazing truth, isn't it? And so this wraps up that portion. I took a long time. I wanted you to make sure you digested it. Very important as we move on as Christians that we speak words of life, words of truth, loving everybody. Don't just love one another. I heard this earlier, and I'm sorry, Steve, but I'm going to pick on it just a bit. Christ died for everybody. He laid his life down, and God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, are all going to get saved? No. I don't understand that mystery, but he certainly did die for every person. Okay? And so we need to be the same to every person. Not judging them, but bringing words of life and encouragement and the love of Christ to them. God can use our tongues to direct others in the way of life, to delight them during their trials of life. Your tongue is small, but it's got a lot of power. So please be conscious of how you use that power. Give God your tongue and your heart every day and ask him to use you as a blessing to others. You want to be a blessing?
Yeah.
All right. So think on that as I close in prayer. Stand up if you would, and we'll ask God to make our words, our church, a blessing to those around us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you teach us the way we ought to be. We want to be like Jesus. We read about Jesus and, Lord, we are drawn to him. His words were few, but they were words of life, words of truth. Even when they brought the adulterous woman, he said, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. So you expect us to be holy, Lord. Let us not be people who condemn and judge. Help us to think of good. Help us to speak words of life and encouragement. Help us to truly show the love of God to all those around us, that you may work in us and use us as a blessing to our community, to our families, to all those that you will surround us with over the next weeks, months, and years. You are so awesome, Lord. We love you and thank you for the power that's in your word. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit who is dwelling with us at this moment. May you get all the honor, glory, and praise forever. In Jesus' name, amen.